Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, church. How are we? Good. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. You may not know, it is my first Father's Day. Yeah. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And I got pancakes this morning. They weren't in bed, but we can't be too picky. They were pancakes. So I was pretty happy with that. And maple syrup with a side of pancakes, really. That's the way to have pancakes. They need to be swimming. So obviously, Graham reached out to me and asked me to share a little bit about my journey so far as a father, all 7 weeks of it. I am very much wet behind the ears, so to speak, and loving sort of every minute of it. It may be worth mentioning, you know, it's always good to take advantage of when you've got the microphone. My wife does, so. And I'll be really clear. I'm a domestic ninja at home, okay? This idea that I'm poor domestically and these stories and anecdotes you hear, don't believe any of them. They're purely for the purpose of delivering a quality sermon to you guys. Dishwashing, everything. And Graham's used the mic a few times to mention about my young daughter, Violet. And if she would be so lucky one day, she may have young Kit knock on our door. Very cheeky of him. But I think he's got it all backwards. In my opinion, if Kit is lucky, he will have the opportunity to knock on Violet's door one day. And that will be, most likely may coincide with Monopoly night at the Devo, so all of Violet's 5 uncles will be over. And it may happen to be the night we're cleaning the rifles as well. So, but I can say that because I'm actually good close mates with Pete, so that's okay. I'm sure Kit's going to be an upstanding young man. You know, the prospect of becoming a father was quite overwhelming, and I don't want to go too much into our journey because I want to save that for another time, and Graham was quite purposeful in saying that to me, but it was quite overwhelming. And being responsible for raising a little human being was quite intimidating. And I've always wanted to be a dad. That's never been the issue. And looked forward to the challenge of parenthood and raising up a child in a Christ-centered home. At the last men's camp this year, I was privileged enough to, and Nicole was about 7 months pregnant at the time, I was privileged enough to catch a ride up with Hamish Woodcock, and Hamish had Dan along with him. And I was really challenged in the trip up and for the duration of the men's camp as to what type of father I was going to be. And spending a bit of time with Hamish, and we also set up camp right next to Chris as well, and Chris had young Josh, wasn't it, with him, and Caleb? Yep. And I was really quite challenged and inspired by their relationship as dads with their sons. And I was really quite blown away by the interaction and the dynamic between them. And I could really see, I was witnessing firsthand here, that there was Christ-centered teaching and love that they had for their kids, their young boys. I could see they were good dads. By the way, they were teaching their boys life skills, teaching them obedience. And it really challenged me. Really challenged me, and you could see they were raising them up as God-fearing men. And God showed me their obedience and challenged me with it. Now with a daughter of my own, I'm slowly learning that there's no room for selfishness in fatherhood. And I think that that's really is what I call the 180 out. So it's the reverse of what the world's trying to teach us, which is, you know, essentially we are to be selfish, we are to look after self, we are to be self-centered. But to me, and again, I want to make it really clear. I don't want to be up here trying to teach anyone about fatherhood. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm fumbling my way through it. And, you know, it's by God's grace that I even have the opportunity to be a dad. And that's an amazing thing. But now with a daughter of my own, there is no room for selfishness. And as dads, we are to lay down our desires and obedience and show unconditional love. In 1 Corinthians, it instructs us, in my opinion, to be fathers. And I've put the word fathers in here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 6 says, "Fathers are patient and kind. With love, they do not envy or boast. They are not arrogant or rude. They do not always insist on their own way. They are not irritable or resentful. They do not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice in the truth." I think that's a really powerful instruction for us as dads. Before we had Violet, I had this idea in my head from a young age that I would only have sons. Now, there's no rationale, no hard logic behind this, but potentially having five brothers, I thought that I would have boys. Now, there's nothing wrong with daughters. I think women are fantastic, and I'm blessed to have a daughter, and I'm very happy about it. There's no issue there. But it may have had something to do with growing up in a rowdy family with five brothers, with lots of testosterone and unauthorized underwear sharing. And for my dad, it meant finding creative ways to keep peace and order and a strong spiritual home. And look, occasionally this involved my dad breaking up fracas and fights while wearing his bath towel and probably sporting half a face of shaving cream. But it's probably only since having our daughter Violet now that I'm starting to get a glimpse of the amount of sacrifice that would have been involved there to raise six sons, include myself. In Psalm 103:13, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord." Looking back, my dad was a great example of this in action. In the lead up to Violet's birth, there was lots of learning and preparation in becoming a father. Nicole and many others were generous in gifting me books on babies and parenting during the pregnancy. These were all placed respectfully on my bedside table for the duration of the 9 months. But then there were the prenatal classes. And I'd heard a few different commentaries on the prenatal classes of what to expect and what parts of it to look forward to and what you'll find interesting. But I was particularly confused with the first class when the midwife began to explain, and this is no exaggeration, began to explain how common it was for men to also experience pregnancy symptoms. Like nausea, tiredness, mood swings, sensitive nipples. I must admit, after hearing this, I did indeed start to feel a bit sick. Our first visit to Baby Bunting was an education. The idea was to go pram shopping. Here I was thinking that a pram, $200, should give us a good pram. That'll give us a sturdy platform to push young Violet around in. I was sadly mistaken. I was surprised at how complicated it became to wade through the hundreds of overpriced prams sitting on the shop floor. Now, I want to send out a disclaimer to the young men, and I think there's a fair few over this way. Be warned, young men. Baby Bunting is like Bunnings for women. It's like Bunnings for women without the men gorging on cheap sausages at the entrance. That is the only difference. But in all seriousness, experiencing the 9 months that Nicole carried Violet was amazing. It was an education. It was surreal every time I was able to lay my hand on Nicole's stomach and feel that little kick or movement in the womb. I don't understand personally how anyone could deny divine creation at hand and clearly at work. When the midwives handed Violet to me for the first time, I can't say I have ever felt the depth of emotion that I felt that day. When Violet let out this little squeal, I was filled with the most intense joy. When I hold my daughter now, everything I thought that was important in the past seems to pale in comparison. I feel closer to God than I've ever felt before and see fatherhood as a wonderful blessing from God that has so much responsibility, yet so much reward. In Psalm 127:3, it says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him." I feel I now have a greater connection with the love that Christ has for me and the meaning of unconditional love has taken to a whole new level. In the 7 weeks since becoming a father, my patience has been tested. I've learned to compromise. It has been tiring, challenging, and at times the responsibility has felt enormous. It's been harder than I've ever imagined, but it's also been better than anything I've ever experienced in my life. And I can honestly say, I love being a dad. You know, whenever I feel unsure on how to deal with a situation or how to respond, I try to reflect on God as our own Heavenly Father. God protects us in the same way I hope to protect. God provides in the same way I wish to provide. God is patient in the same way I long to be patient. God shows us how to be great dads. If you could just put up that photo for me, that'd be great. So this is, I like to think of pretty much the first time Violet smiled at me properly and we had a little giggle together in bed. I do wear pajamas to bed. There is no shame. So without carrying on, I just wanted to say what a blessing the journey has been so far. I know it will continue to be, and I wish every dad here a happy Father's Day and God's richest blessing upon all of you. Thank you. Thanks, Graham.
Fantastic. Really great. Thank you so much, Az. Nothing can challenge you more than being a dad. This morning I want to quickly end the service just by talking about the Father heart of God. You know, one of the greatest declarations in the Bible, I believe, is that God is our Father. God's desire is that we increasingly know Him as our Father and that we understand His Father heart towards us. The Bible tells us of the amazing closeness, of the intimacy, of the warmth, of the tender-heartedness of God, our Father, towards us. It's unfortunate in the society that we live in fact, every society around the world, I believe, that there are many fathers, but there are very few good fathers. The difference between me as a father and God as my father is that I'm not perfect. I know that's a surprise to many of you, but I'm not. But my Heavenly Father is perfect and is the perfect Father. And I just love that song that we've been singing, Andy. It's just brilliant. It's this lack of knowing what a father signifies has led to many rejecting or not fully receiving the Father heart of God. And I have no doubt that there'll be many in this room today who have trouble understanding God as a loving Father because they experience God through the eyes of what they've experienced themselves. And I see that as one of Satan's greatest wiles. We're seeing it happening around the world everywhere today. Satan is trying to take away what marriage is all about because marriage is a type of what our relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, if Satan can destroy our image of fatherhood or what a good father is like by giving us a father that's not so good and him then relating back to the Heavenly Father, he's won. However, today I hope that you will just catch a glimpse that our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father, that He loves us. So even if you had a poor worldly father, you can have and experience the amazing love and care of your perfect Heavenly Father. The New Testament is full of passages declaring God to be our loving Heavenly Father. And I think probably one of the best passages in the Bible, and there's so many, is the picture of God as our Father in the prodigal son story. I like to call it, rather than the prodigal son, the loving Father, because I think that's what it is. You all know the story. The son runs away from home. He wastes his time. He wastes his money. He lives in situations and circumstances that were not part of his upbringing. Finally, he comes to a place of realizing his foolishness. And then he makes that declaration, I'll return to my father's house and I'll confess that I'm no more worthy to be called a son, and make me one of your hired servants. And then it says he arose and he went and he got to his father and he started to confess. And if you look at the confessions, you'll see that the father cut him off at the point, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, make me one of the servants. Because we know that father went out every day and stood and watched and waited for his son to come back. We know that on seeing him, the Bible tells that the father ran to him, smothering him with extravagant love, with a coat, with gifts. So when we have doubts about God's love, God's wanting us and showering us with his love, let's remind ourselves of the picture that we have in the prodigal son, or the loving father's story. A father every day waiting, hoping, wishing for his child to return home. As we see in that story, the father didn't forget, didn't reject, and always desired his son to come home. And that's how God is with us. Another part of how we see our Heavenly Father is the way Jesus and Paul both declared that God was not just Father, but he was Abba Father. Abba is one of those rich Aramaic words that you cannot bring back into the English, because there's just no simple explanation. But the easiest or the simplest way that we can have it is calling our father Daddy or Papa. And I think the Italians call their dads Papa. God wants us to know the intimacy of him like a small child does with their dad. Isn't that a beautiful photo? I have an actual similar photo of that with Narelle when she was born, sitting in bed. I love that photo. It's a beautiful photo, Aaron. Just as much as Violet was looking into Aaron's eyes, doting, secure, just innocent in every way. That's what God wants us to see in him as our creator and the creator of the universe. He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. He's an awesome living God. But he's also our Abba Father, our Dad. And so some of us, I think, today need to soften our hearts towards him. Allow the images, allow the pain, allow the things that you have let rob you of experiencing God as a loving Father fall away. Knowing that God is our loving Father is much more than just knowing some passage in the Bible. It has to become a truth. It has to become a revelation that changes our lives. I remember back to last week when Paula gave and shared her testimony just before she was baptized, and how she said for 5 years she's known that she needed to get baptized, but she felt so dirty, she felt so unworthy, she felt that she couldn't. She was being robbed, because that's not how God was looking at her. That was how she was looking at herself and seeing herself. Let me give you just 4 facts about the Father heart of God. And Aaron has mentioned a couple of them. One of the facts that I love about the Father heart of God is that God our Father never stops loving us. You can be confident that your Father God, my Father God, our Father God loves us constantly with an unchanging love. Paul said it so beautifully in Romans 8 when he says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of our God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you think of what Paul went through, you think of all of the contradictions of life that he went through in serving God. And he said, nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God. You know, I had an amazing dad, and I mean that. He would have been 92 today, an amazing dad. Yet there was a period in my time of life with him, I was about 19, 20, where he went through midlife crisis, and it was as though there was a cut of 5 years in our life where he never spoke to me. I would go and stand at his door, I would write him notes, I'd get returned unopened. And then one day he just rang and said, oh, Gray, I'm going such and such, would you like to come? And it was as if, bang, it was back. We never talked about it, we never mentioned it again, but I knew, no matter what, that my dad loved me. I had a brilliant dad, but I have a better Heavenly Father, because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He is what the Word says, and he never stops loving us. He is our provider. This same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so often when we think of needs, we think financial, we think physical, but any and every need that you have right now, your loving Father, my loving Father, our loving Father will provide. Provides with daily food. Jesus said that when he taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Knowing that as we pray that prayer, that God will answer that prayer. He's given us his presence. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live and to rule and to reign inside, that we can surrender and know every aspect of him through the presence of his Spirit within us. He's given us gifts, every gift that we need to live and to walk the life. He's given us protection. We can go on and we can go on and we can go on with the things that we get and have been given through our God, the provider. He forgives us. My grandma used to say to me constantly, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. And that always rang in my mind because she was like that. She would remind you. Yet God never reminds me. The Bible says that our sins are as far as the east is to the west in his sight. It says he remembers them no more. Pastor Oxy, a couple of weeks ago, did communion and he talked about getting saved and our sins up to that time being wiped away. And then my words, the escape clause, the escape scripture. If we sin, we can come to God, confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God doesn't wash my face in my shame. In fact, he says there's therefore now no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, because he's a loving Father. And when he says he forgives and forgets, he does. And I know as I meditate on the story of the loving Father that that's how that Father would be. He would have reinstated that son into every right that he would have had before he walked away. We might feel down because of our fast, but failing to ask and not receiving and accepting God's forgiveness will cripple us in our walk. God loves us unconditionally and wants us to ask forgiveness so that he can wipe the slate clean, so that we can start afresh. Lastly, we have a loving Father, the Bible says, who will discipline us. And I think we sometimes see discipline in a negative light. I see discipline in a positive light. I see discipline as putting up safety walls and barriers to protect me from hurting myself. In Hebrews 12, it says, the scripture talks of our Heavenly Father loving us so much that he will discipline and correct us. Just as much as we as parents or our parents disciplined us so that we would live and outwork our lives to the best way possible, God disciplines us so that we would become more like him, because he knows what we need to stay on the straight and narrow.
when I think, or when we think of discipline, sometimes our mind goes to the worst case scenarios, pain, hurt, punishment. But for me, both with my dad and God, the discipline has always come with incredibly clear instructions and every opportunity to obey. The only time that it's ever been painful for me is when I haven't obeyed. And I deserved it. You know, the instructions that we get from God are very clear, and they come in a number of ways. We can read the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." You know, God has given us an incredibly clear instruction manual, how to live life that we might be blessed. We have the Holy Spirit living within us that convicts us, not condemns us, convicts us, gives us the opportunity of changing our way. God has placed in our lives a multitude of counselors that give us wisdom and insight. Unfortunately, so often we don't see it in a loving way. We don't see it the way it is being given to us, and so we rebel. And then in that rebelling, there's an outworking. My loving Father, your loving Father, our perfect Heavenly Father, wants us to have life and have it to the full. It's in knowing the Father heart of God that we get peace. It's in knowing the Father heart of God that we get the power to walk as a believer. It's the devil's job to try and convince you of all the rubbish that's going on. It's his job to tell us that God doesn't care. It's his job to tell us that our sins can't be forgiven. It's his job to tell us that God doesn't love us. But let me remind you that he is the father of lies. There's nothing good in the devil. In fact, whatever he says, twist it and turn it around 180 degrees because that's where it should be placed. This morning, the important thing is that you know and take hold of the fact that God loves you. I encourage you to meditate on the Father heart of God. I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and to show you the lies that you might have been believing. Start confessing God's love for you. Start calling him Abba, Father, even if you don't feel like it, even if it feels uncomfortable. Start calling him Abba Father. Start telling him you love him. Start confessing the depths of the love that you want to have for him, because I know that we want to have love for him. Let's love our Heavenly Father with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We're going to close today. We're going to sing God, a good Father again, but let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would invade our hearts today with your loving presence. Lord God, for those that are hurt, that you would heal them. Father, for those that are anxious or a bit reticent and come into your presence, that you would let your peace reign over them. That Father, we would see that the veil has been rent in two. That the opening to you is now there through your Son, and that your word says that we can boldly come into your presence. Father, we know that just as much as we all have different moods and different frames, there's different moods and frames with you. There's times when you want to cuddle us, there's times when you want to discipline us, there's times when you want to just have us be still and know that you're a God. But Lord, I pray that we would this day grow in a deeper love and a deep appreciation for you, and that our heart would be towards you as yours is towards us. Father, for those that we know in our families that are what we would call prodigals right now, Lord, I thank you that you are there waiting every day looking for their return. And so we pray for their return right now. We pray, Lord God, that you would minister into the prodigals, and that you would cause them to come to their senses today, and that you would draw them back to yourself. Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this beautiful, special day, Father's Day. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.